Well, again, we're continuing in our series entitled Fix Your Eyes on Jesus. Today, we're returning to Hebrews 7, and our focus this morning is going to be on verses 11 through to 28. Last week, the superior priesthood of Jesus was explained and contrasted. And Phil told us that Jesus will forever be the superior priest who can give sinners access to God. Kind of following this same theme, we'll further consider his superior priesthood. And our sermon title, as you can see, it's up on the screen. It comes directly from within the passage. Verse 22, it says, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. But why do we need this better covenant? Why should we turn to him? Well, before we answer those questions, I want us to consider the term guarantee. Perhaps you, when you hear the word guarantee, you might think of what's on the screen there. You might think of money or satisfaction. Now, satisfaction guarantees, I guess they can be debated. I don't know about you, but I think money-back guarantees are a pretty good thing. You know, you buy a product, the product fails, but you don't panic because you've got the receipt, you've got the guarantee, so you take it back to the shop. They give you your money back, or if they don't give you your money back, then they at least give you a new one that works. That's a deal. That's such a deal. But sometimes, you know what? These guarantees are worthless. They mean absolutely diddly squat. Nothing at all. Perhaps you were guaranteed a seat on a flight or on a train. But when you get to the airport or to the station, you discover that you haven't a seat. They've either overbooked the flight and there's no room for you at all, or they've allocated your seat to somebody else. Or perhaps you make it onto that flight, but then you arrive at your hotel. Do you remember booking that room with, you know, the balcony and the guaranteed sea view? Well, upon arrival, it turns out the balcony is no more than a step, and the view is pretty much of the air conditioning units that are associated with the hotel. Well, sea view, you say? Well, you can just maybe catch a bit of a glimpse if you stand on a chair and look round the corner. I guess it's like this. You're expecting this, but what you actually get is that. There's your sea view. I guess the more important the situation, the more important a sure guarantee is. Sadly, there are very few sure guarantees in life, but I do know one. And if I may be so bold as to share it with you, we are all going to die. I can guarantee that. But what I can't guarantee is where you are going to head when you leave us. There is no situation more important than your eternal destiny. If there's anything that you want to be certain about, it should be your salvation. Because you see, life here is brief and uncertain, but eternity is forever. You don't want to miss out. So the author wants us to know that because Jesus is our high priest, he is the guarantee of a better covenant that ensures our salvation. His priesthood is far more superior to all the other priests who've gone before. Then in verses 15 of our passage through to 28, we get a kind of a further explanation of Christ's superior priesthood. The author lays out four additional reasons why we should turn to Christ. But before we look at these four additional reasons, notice how the passage begins. It begins with a kind of general observation as to why we need a better covenant. Look at verses 11 and 12 with me. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the law was given to the people, why was there still need for another priest to come? One in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron. But For when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. Now, in short, the Levitical priesthood was unable to attain perfection. It was unable to really cleanse God's people from their sins. It was unable to really make God's people fit to dwell with God forever. The old covenant, the infrastructure was inadequate and temporary. So it needed to be replaced with a better and more secure covenant. And this better covenant, it came in the form of the superior priesthood of Jesus. Having established why a better covenant was needed, the author now gives us these four additional reasons. Four more reasons why we should turn to Christ and his superior priesthood. Firstly, Jesus is more powerful. He's a more powerful priest. Look at verses 13 through to 19 with me. He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest, not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. What we see first is that Jesus is a more powerful priest than the others. Jesus is another priest in the likeness of the priesthood of Melchizedek. He comes from a different tribe. It tells us that in the first verse. But it also tells us it's from a tribe which has never served at the altar. Priests normally come from the tribe of Levi. But Jesus was a descendant of Judah, the tribe of the kings. But why does this matter? What makes Jesus more powerful? Well, it means, because he comes from this different tribe, the tribe of the kings, Jesus could be both priest and king at the same time. And this was essential because the Messiah was predicted to hold both offices. Don't take my word for it. Zechariah 6, verse 13 reads, it is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty and will sit and rule on his throne. And he will be a priest on his throne, and there will be harmony between the two. Jesus is like no other priest. He is a priest who can also rule as king. He can not only save us as a priest, he can care and protect us as a king. Notice then what we're told in verse 16. It backs up this claim. Jesus became priest not based on ancestry, but by his indestructible life. He became priest on the basis of his power, a power given to him by God. And then again, the author quotes from Psalm 110, verse 4. It's there in verse 17 of our passage. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. This is the third time he's used this quote, and guess what? It's not the last. The context here is that Jesus is the bearer of a greater priesthood, greater than that of Levi, of Aaron, or of any other Old Testament priest. They were made priests through human ancestry under the law of Moses. Christ's priesthood, on the other hand, is grounded in his indestructible life. And Jesus Christ and his priesthood is necessary because the old law was weak. It's there, written down for us. It was weak and useless because the old law did not bring people fully to God. It did not bring people fully to God and was a law which made nothing perfect. So the old law was set aside, with a new priesthood and a new law established. This new and more powerful priesthood was able to bring people fully to God. Still is able to bring people fully to God. Look at verse 19. A better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. A better hope, which means Jesus is able to accomplish what the others couldn't. No other priest is able to offer you what Jesus is able to offer and do for you. But I really want to be clear, and it's important, you know, in this moment, that God here is not changing or kind of contradicting himself. I think the term set aside that is used in verse 18 is significantly important here. God is setting aside one commandment whilst introducing us to another. He's not scrapping the old law because it didn't achieve its purpose. The purpose was for the Old Testament laws to point to our Lord Jesus Christ. They were to show us the way, but they were not to be the final means of salvation. Jesus, on the other hand, is the promise of salvation. He is powerful. He does not have the weaknesses and limitations of the Levitical priesthood. He is our promised priest, which leads nicely onto the second point this morning. Look at verses 20 through to 22 with me. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Here the author is contrasting the Levitical priests with Jesus. The priesthood of Jesus, according to the order of Melchizedek, is different. With the Levitical priests, God did not make an oath that they'd serve forever. But when it came to the priesthood of his son Jesus, look what God says. Look at verse 21. "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." Once more, it's a further quote from Psalm 110 verse 4. That's four times now. Now, I often talk about repeated phrases. You know, an author might repeat a phrase for emphasis, but this is another level. Let's be clear. God's bare word is enough to make his promise certain. But when he mentions it four times and then kind of he adds his oath onto it, it's like he's underlining the promise. He's highlighting it in bright yellow. He's kind of putting it in brackets. He's putting loads of exclamation marks after it. But notice here that he also includes all of Psalm 110 verse 4. He adds, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind." So I don't know about you, but I get the impression God wants us to take note. Jesus is a priest forever. Fact, underlined, highlighted, whatever you do. Then look what's added in verse 22. Look what comes next. Because of this oath, here's our title. Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Jesus is pictured as the one who guarantees God's covenant promises. And it's also the only time that the word guarantee is used in the New Testament. Jesus, who offered himself on the cross for our sins, is our guarantee of this better covenant, this new covenant. A covenant the author only mentions here, but we'll expand on in Hebrews 8, and Simon will do that for us next week, God willing. But for now, John MacArthur puts it like this. All of God's promises in the new covenant are guaranteed to us by Jesus himself. He guarantees to pay all the debts that our sins have incurred or ever will incur. Isn't that just amazing? Isn't that the best guarantee in the world ever? Forget your money back guarantees or your satisfaction guarantees. The guarantee of Jesus is the real deal. It's better than anything money can buy. Jesus, our promised priest, is the guarantor of a better covenant. And not only is he our promised priest, but he's also a permanent priest. Leads us to the third point this morning. Look at verses 3 to 25 with me. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. The contrast between the Levitical priests and Jesus continues. We learn there have been many of these priests, these Levitical priests. Now, they existed in greater numbers because, well, they died and they had to be replaced. But regardless of how many there were, none, not one, none of them were permanent. But verse 24 tells us that Jesus was different. Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. But what does that mean for all of us today? Well, put simply, church pastors will continue to come and they will continue to go, yet Jesus remains. Jesus is always in heaven for you because death could not defeat him. Look again what it says there in verse 24. He is our permanent priest. Now, let's be clear too that a pastor is not like an Old Testament priest. They don't represent you before God. You come to God through Christ. The role of a pastor is to proclaim, I hope it is to proclaim and explain God's truth to you. But you know what? This does present a danger. You see it in some of our churches. The danger that people then become too reliant on them. Death will defeat them. So don't become dependent upon your pastors. Instead, look to Christ. Why? Because he has a permanent priesthood. It's simple. And because he has a permanent priesthood, he is able to save completely. Look at verse 25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. The use of the conjunction, therefore, links these verses together. The statement here is entirely dependent on what Jesus has just been saying, or what has just been said. Human priests can only serve until they die. They can't intercede forever. They can't offer sacrifices for sins because they'll never live long enough. Jesus, in contrast, lives forever with a priesthood guaranteed forever. This phrase, you are a priest forever, is repeated twice in this passage, 17 and 21. Firstly, it was declared by God, then, before then, sworn in an oath by God. And through this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Therefore, Christ can save us in ways which the old covenant never could. And there's two things I want us to notice from verse 25. Firstly, Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him. We need a priest if we're going to come near to God for a relationship with him. This is the point of the old covenant. People cannot just come near to God. God is holy and pure, and we are not. We cannot approach him on our own. We need a priest who can bring us near to God. And there is one such priest, Jesus. To come near to God, we must do so through Jesus, because he is the permanent high priest promised to us that's going to be established forever. And secondly, Jesus is able to save us completely because he always lives to intercede. Since his priesthood is permanent, he's always able to intercede for us. And this concept is hard for us to understand, not because it's complicated, but because the love which our Lord Jesus Christ shows to us is amazing. Everything God has done through Jesus is so that we can draw near to him. Jesus is the permanent high priest that God promised us. All of this so that all who want to come to the Lord can do so, because the whole purpose of Jesus was and is to make intercession for us. It's incredible how much Jesus cares for us. He always lives to intercede for us. He is forever available to intercede for us and to offer us forgiveness. Where a human priest would fall short, Jesus our great high priest, does not. Jesus Christ can save us completely since his priesthood is a permanent one. He is permanently fixed as our high priest so that we can still draw near to God. Even when we sin, even when we lock ourselves in a bathroom and disobey our instructions, he can simply sympathetically draw us back to God. Why? Because he is perfect. He's our perfect priest, which leads to the final point this morning. Jesus is our perfect priest. Look there at verses 26 to 28 with me. Such a high priest meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest men who are weak, but the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son, which has been made perfect forever. We can come to God through Jesus because he is the high priest that we need. He's a perfect priest. And the author emphasizes his perfection here in verse 26. Within this verse, we get these five terms to underline just how perfect Jesus is. Firstly, we see that Jesus is holy. This points to his character. He's one who is set apart from others and is without sin. So Jesus, secondly, is blameless. And thirdly, Jesus is pure. He's entirely free from all that is evil and harmful. None of his actions or motives are evil or harmful. Jesus is completely pure. Some of these Levitical priests appeared outwardly pure, but inwardly they weren't. They were defiled by sin and were sinners in the same way that you and I are. And because Jesus has no sin, fourthly, Jesus is set apart from sinners. And that doesn't mean that Jesus removed himself from contact with sinners. Rather, he was friend of sinners, but he kept himself separate and undefined. Levitical priests, on the other hand, they had to keep themselves, didn't they? They kept themselves away from people who could defile them. But Jesus was different. He could mix with sinful people. He can mix with lepers and the unclean, and their defilement didn't affect him. Instead, his purity and life-giving powers were imparted on them. Fifthly and finally, Jesus is exalted above the heavens. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. This statement embraces it, that the truth of his resurrection, ascension, and glorification, it portrays the supreme priesthood of our ever-living perfect high priest. He's not like any earthly priest. In contrast, he is great and perfect. A perfect priest who was faithful to the Father during his whole earthly life. He lived an obedient human life so he could be exalted as pure, holy, and worthy. What Jesus did was different from all the priests of the past. Look at verse 27. It points us to it. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Other priests offered sacrifices for their own sins as well as the sins of others, but Jesus was different. Our great high priest, Jesus, did not offer sacrifices. Our great high priest offered himself for the sins of the people. He offered his body. We needed our high priest to offer himself for our sins. We needed him to intercede for us, which is what he did and still does now. By dying for us, rising from the dead, Jesus shows his indestructible life. And by doing so, he shows us how he has become our high priest forever, our powerful, promised, permanent, and perfect priest. So as we draw to a close this morning, what can we take away with this? Well, Jesus is the guarantee of a better covenant. His priesthood is superior. And he became a priest on the basis of his power, a power given to him by God. He's also a priest forever, making him not only powerful, but permanent. God declared this to us in an oath, making him also our promised priest. As a result, we have a better hope given to us by which we draw near to God. And this better hope says that despite all our sins, despite everything we've done that's wrong, we can still fully draw near to God. Verse 25 again, Jesus is able to completely save those who draw near to God. Jesus is able to completely deal with our sinful condition. He intercedes for us. We have Jesus as our guarantee of the covenant promises of God. He is the real deal. He is the best guarantee you'll ever need or have. You know, this week we've seen a new prime minister placed in office. There's absolutely no guarantee she'll be any better than the last one. There's no guarantee that this energy cap that they were going to bring in will last. And there's no guarantee when this crisis will end. There's no guarantee when the war in Ukraine will end. There are very few certainties in life. So why would you not turn to Jesus Christ? God has done everything so that you do not need to give up. Jesus has offered up himself so you do not have to quit under life's pressures. We began our service this morning with a quote from the late Queen. Therefore, I thought it might be fitting to conclude with a final one in closing. During her Christmas message in 2011, the Queen said the following: although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important they are, but a savior with the power to forgive. Jesus is the guarantee of a better covenant. He is the only one who can save. He's the only guarantee of a better future and the only way to an eternal life. So don't turn away from Christ, but instead turn towards him. Run flat out into his arms. He's the best guarantee you'll invest in. He's the guarantor of a better covenant. Amen.